My mic wasn't on. Okay, well, welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eddie Lindenstein. Let me give a shout out to the patrons of the show. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/ the Mind and Fitness Podcast. There's a group of people on there that donate money every single month, throw a few bucks in the tip jar, help keep this thing on the air for free. Let me give a shout out to Barb and Arnie, who've been supporting since 2018. Sarah and Brian and Julie and Christina, who are all here since 2019. Michael and Tony and Kelly and Irina and Mindy and Jason since 2020. John and Dominic since 2021. Elise and Emily. Daniel and Deborah and Julie and Jeff all joined in 2022. And then this year, Albert and Teresa have hopped on board to help support the show. So it's been awesome. As far as this week goes, I'm excited. There's somebody that sent me over a message, has a background in TMS recovery from autoimmune disease. And so we're going to get into that. His name is Robert Enser. And he was recommended to talk to me by Rebecca Tolan, who's been on the podcast before. She was wonderful. I encourage you to go back and check out the episode that had her and I in it. But yeah, so we're going to hear a little bit about Robert's story. He's got a book available on Amazon called The Mind Solution. And again, it's Robert Enser. R-O-B-E-R-T-E-N-S-O-R. So we're going to talk about a variety of things that have come up in his TMS journey, and the list is quite extensive, and things that we've never even talked about on this show. So I'm very excited to hear some of his perspective on that. So without further ado, let's welcome Robert. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I'm here with Robert Enser, who is from all the way in the UK, recommended to chat with me by way of Rebecca Tolan, who is lovely. Robert, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. I always enjoy, it's not that I don't enjoy female perspective stories. We've had so many of them on the show, and I would say it's probably like 7-1 of female to male on the show. Yeah. So I think it's going to be cool, especially somebody that's gone as far as to write a book, which you've got one available on Amazon called The Mind Solution, Healing TMS Pain with Dr. Sarno. But first, I'd love to just kind of get a little bit of sense of who you are today, if you're comfortable saying age and some of the stuff that you're into, and then we can kind of go backwards with, you know, kind of your origin story, if you will. But tell us about Robert as he is today.
Well, I'm 31 years old. I'm very active. You know, I do a lot of weightlifting. I just went for an 8.5 mile run this morning. I like hiking, especially in Austria. And I'm an author, and I do a bit of mind body coaching. And yeah,
awesome.
That's about it, really.
Awesome. Well, yeah, take us back. I was reading some of the bio and the basis or the nucleus of this book that you've got, and there's a lot of stuff going on. So wherever you feel most comfortable, kind of give us the rundown of the origin of it. You know, when did your pain issues start, and what were they, and that kind of stuff. And then we'll jump into what's different now, and ultimately how did you get out of it?
Okay. Well, it's a very long story, so I will try and keep it brief.
Okay.
I'd had kind of simmering food intolerances and hip and back pain and other symptoms since childhood. And it didn't get really bad until February 2019, when I just finished writing a novel, and my back hurt terribly getting out of a chair, of all things. The pain persisted for weeks. I went to see an osteopath. She thought I had ankylosing spondylitis, which is an autoimmune disease. It's basically autoimmune arthritis of the spine, where the immune system attacks the spine and destroys cartilage. So I Googled it and saw these horrifying photographs of decimated spines, and pretty much agreed the symptoms seemed to match. So I didn't go to a doctor at that point. So this was not a confirmed diagnosis. And with autoimmune disease, mainstream medicine says they're incurable and just want to manage your inevitable decline with medication.
Yeah.
The only approach that really holds out hope for recovery is the diet approach, paleo diet, functional medicine. And they do have success stories, albeit these people, they have to stick to their diet, generally speaking, or they get symptoms again. But that sounded better to me than it's incurable and you're just going to get worse.
Yep.
So I went for that one. I chose diet. I dropped lactose from my diet and felt a lot better, you know, and I just kept doing it because over time, I got diminishing returns from the diet.
Yeah.
I was steadily getting worse, even though I was dropping more and more foods. You get a temporary kind of placebo relief. You drop gluten and then starch, which is a big one to lose, let me tell you. And yeah, you get some placebo relief temporarily, but overall, the overall arc was decline. And it led to an unhealthy obsession with food. So could I read out a full symptom list just to give people?
Yeah. Please do.
What a mess I was.
Please do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, severe chronic back and hip pain, chest pain, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, gingivitis, insomnia, frequent urination, wisdom tooth related infections, gluten, lactose, starch, egg, soy, onion, nightshade, artificial sweetener, and citrus intolerance. So intolerant to almost everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, diarrhea, constipation, headaches, shoulder pain as well, severe chronic fatigue, cold intolerance, massive foot swelling at one point. It's quite alarming. Urinary pain, dizziness, wrist and hand pain, infected bug bites, hemorrhoids, and an anal fissure.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I finally stopped.
Yeah, quite the list. When and so did you, because you talked a little bit about the placebo earlier, you're trying to change one thing and it fixes something, but then ultimately like you get the symptoms coming back. Yeah, was it an instance where you had a lot of these things all at once, or would it be kind of like, you know, one thing is solved and then another thing pops up? Like how did that go for you?
Well, yeah, that was very complicated, but generally speaking, I got more and more symptoms over time. And became intolerant to more and more things over time, because all of a sudden I think, oh, I need to get rid of starch, you know, maybe that's why I'm getting worse. And then kind of through my belief system, I could no longer eat starch without terrible symptoms. And it just spiraled out of control until, you know, at my worst, I needed a wheelchair to go further than 200 feet due to the back and hip pain. And it got to the point where I could only eat 1,000 calories a day of almond milk, mushrooms, and cucumber. And that went on for 4 months. So it reacted terribly with your pain and digestive symptoms to everything else.
How long ago was this, by the way?
Yeah, well, this, you know, the whole real nightmare started in February 2019. Okay. And that went on for about 18 months, I guess. And then I started to recover, and the recovery took 15 months.
Okay.
Roughly. So, yeah, I mean, eventually I went to the doctor. Five doctors thought I had autoimmune disease. And they mentioned celiac. They mentioned Crohn's. And one doctor told me I was the worst autoimmune patient he'd ever seen, which is great to hear, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. Nocebo there. So, yeah, they're really good at that. And yeah, my GP tried to do a load of pointless tests and looking for, he wanted to do a gluten test, which at the time, given what I believed about diet, would have, you know, completely crippled me.
Yeah.
However, you know, I probably didn't have an actual food allergy, but, you know, the beliefs become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And eventually I got referred on to a gastroenterologist. He wanted to do a gastroscopy and an x-ray. Both got canceled due to the lockdown during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I was kind of glad. I was relieved because every time I saw a doctor, I got worse. And, you know, making all these concerned noises, talking about incurable conditions. So by that point, I wanted to go it alone and fix it myself. And in my desperation, at that point I was agnostic, but in my desperation, I promised I would spread whatever message he wanted me to spread if I recovered. And then after that, I got recommended from Amazon John Sarno's book, Healing Back Pain. So I bought Sarno's book. It's a short book. I figured, why not?
Yeah.
You know, people say just reading it heals them.
Which of the Sarno books was this one? Because he's got four.
Healing Back Pain.
Okay.
Yeah, and but I left it on my nightstand because I thought, you know, how could all this be psychosomatic?
Yeah.
And the other thing was, I thought I had autoimmune disease and that he's talking about chronic pain. So I wasn't sure if it applied.
Yep.
But anyway, I was persuaded to read it eventually because I had a dream that I was on a podcast holding up Sarno's book saying, you know, diet's okay, but this approach is better. So because of that dream, I had a bit of an inkling about dream analysis. Because of that dream, I figured, all right, let's give this book a whirl. So I read it, and his main concept that pain and fear distract from repressed emotions, and if you accept that pain is a distraction from the unconscious and just move normally, you improve. That's the main concept,
yeah,
as I understand it. So but it wasn't until I started applying that insight to my own life that I began to improve. And I got about a 20% improvement just thinking about repressed emotions while I was reading it. And I thought, all right, there might be something in this. And then I went on a 3.5-mile walk talking with my mom about repressed emotions. And 3.5 miles for me at that point was a big deal. That was a massive improvement. My back hurt a bit, but it wasn't that bad. So it was such a drastic improvement that I knew the Sarno approach worked at that point. And there wasn't any serious doubts from there going forward. And, you know, I got gradual improvements. I built up slowly, and, you know, every week I walked a bit further and ate a bit more. I was a bit cautious. And a real, probably the biggest symptom imperative that I got was when my foot swelled up. Huge, huge swelling. I could barely get my shoes on. And I went on like that for a week and got rid of it by journaling about grief, because my dad died of ALS when I was 19.
Oh, wow.
Repressed grief. But journaling about that worked. I mean, it almost instantly. My foot deflated as if someone had stuck a pin in the whoopee cushion. It went down to almost normal size in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, that was gave me some confidence. And yeah, I mean, I gradually built myself up and reintroduced foods and increased my range of motion, exercised more vigorously. And now, yeah, made a full recovery.
So this would have been like, you said, started in February of 2019, took 15 months. So my mental math says that this was like the spring or summer of 2020. Is that right?
My math is terrible. I found Sarno in December 2020.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It 15 months after you found Sarno. That makes more sense. No, let's put it back on me.
The recovery took 15 months. I don't know. I don't know about how long I was really bad for. I mean, it really went on for about 9-10 years, you know. But I can't tell the whole story because it's too long. That's why I need to write a book.
Yeah. Well, okay. So that's an interesting next place to go. Now that you kind of have the foresight and you're it's behind you.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can, because you're 31 now, and so kind of when this stuff really started crushing you, you were late 20s, but what can you point back to as, you know, some of the symptoms or the, because one thing that I like to do on this podcast is like, hey, everybody kind of thinks that their thing is the incurable thing, right? That nobody else has the same symptoms as me. Yeah. I'm just curious on what other things maybe have had gone on in your teens or maybe even younger in terms of like symptoms or issues that you had that you could speak to that now you look back and you're like, oh yeah, it was like, that's the same thing as all the other different issues that I had. It was just masking itself with or manifesting itself with this symptom. Like what examples do you have?
Something you can relate to. I had shoulder pain and I had an MRI to look for a torn rotator cuff. I could almost convince myself I had a micro tear in the rotator cuff. And that's obviously PMS. That was when I was about 15. And yeah, there's just this whole massive list of different things I had over the years. that I read out earlier, huge. I mean, all of it was TMS in the end. All the same cause and the same solution. All from the unconscious, basically.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things that I'm curious about is kind of getting to the, you know, one of the things that came to you was thinking about your dad. And so what are some other things that, what are some other things maybe that had come to you or things that you had to address or give more thought to or things like that, that helped you along the way?
Yeah. The two biggest emotional root causes were, my dad's death, and I got bullied severely at school. And there was a lot of repressed anger about that, because you just kind of think, well, a lot of people get bullied, you know, whatever, and forget about it. But, you know, obviously, there was a lot of anger there, and expressing that anger through journaling really helped.
You know, that's one thing. I wish that, it was a podcast or it was a YouTube video or an XM satellite show or something. There was something I heard really recently, like in the last few days. God, and I wish that it'll come to me at 2 a.m. or something, like, well, after this conversation's over, I'm sure. Where the person that was talking was saying that, like, a thing that they have to continue to do is to kind of not diminish their human experience. So, like you mentioned, hey, like, everybody gets bullied, which, yes, I do agree, but that doesn't make anything that you would have gone through or experienced any less shitty. You know what I mean?
It's a way of repressing it.
Yep.
Saying, oh, it's common.
Yep.
You know? It was all, you know, another one is when people got, older people were kind of hit as children. It's like, oh, that's how it was back then, you know. That's a way of repressing the anger and the emotion.
So what did you start doing with, you know, you have this Arno information now, you're connecting dots to past experiences, death in the family, bullied at school. There's probably other ones that aren't coming to you now. What do you then, like, what did you then do with that?
I just wrote about the memory in detail and kind of, you know, expressed anger and grief in very blunt terms. You know, like about my dad, I miss him terribly. You know, I didn't mince words. And that got an effect. But it's interesting about journaling. I really think that belief was the primary factor in my recovery, the belief that I could recover. Because, you know, there are people who do psychotherapy who've got psychosomatic problems. And it has a small effect on them if they don't make a mind-body link, if they don't believe that it's that the unconscious emotions are causing their physical problems. So I think that really tells you that belief is the key factor here. Confidence.
Yep.
That would be the main message. And that's why Sarno's books heal people. You know, it's... he's kind of telling you that all you need really is to accept the diagnosis, i.e. believe in the information that is in the book itself.
Yep.
You don't need to, the knowledge, you don't need to do anything particularly other than resume normal activities in order to heal is, for many people, its own cure. It's very reassuring, simple, and liberating. Just to know that everything, you know, you've got everything you need within you. And it basically, Sarno tells people you're going to be okay, and for me that was really all I needed to hear.
Yep.
And it gives people permission not to be afraid and permission to heal.
Was it difficult for you to, like, internalize that? Because that's something that I was having this conversation with my wife not long ago about, she was experiencing some symptoms, like some back pain, and like, I'm trying to teach kind of this message of confidence and indifference and not sound like a jerk, and diminish the experience that she's having. How do you do that? What's your advice on that? If you're talking to somebody that you know, it could be somebody maybe that you, that like knew about kind of your story and some of the pain and different issues that you were having and the diagnosis you were given, like, how can you turn that around and not diminish somebody's experience, but also, you know, help them see or help them recognize, hey, like, this is BS.
Well, I think sometimes talking about the repressed emotions can give you an immediate result. Even if you're on the fence and you're just kind of open-minded. So yes, sometimes talking about those things can really give an immediate result, and then feeling is believing, because you feel better almost instantaneously.
Yep.
And that's proof of concept right there. Another thing is basically, just bombarding people with success story after success story of similar diagnoses, because now I don't really put that much stock in diagnoses, given that everything kind of was pretty much the same for me. But people who are sick, they really, if it's a success story, you have the same diagnosis as them, that can make a big difference.
Yep.
So that's why Sarno's book's filled with success stories, all these TMS books. And it's one of the most, that's really key to the Sarno magic. To just prove that it can be done with a similar condition. And the other thing is to kind of poke holes in the web of false perceptions. So you can look at the timing of symptom onset and, ask about, was there any stresses in your life at that time?
Yep.
And just try and connect the dots between the physical symptoms and the emotional stress. Things like that, really.
I think the timing part is really interesting. Think back to when you were 19 and lost your dad to ALS, which, like, I have a background in fundraising for research for ALS. I know the disease. I know how horrific it is. Were there any symptoms that popped up around that time that you...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, talk about that, because sometimes it does seem like there can be, like with an asterisk, a correlation between sort of the intensity of symptoms and the amount you have to repress.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, almost straight after he died, I got much worse. I started getting wisdom tooth infections,
mm-hmm.
which I never had before, gingivitis, and hangovers got so much worse. I mean, I had some of the worst hangovers I've ever heard of. Went on for like 4 days, 5 days. So yeah, there was an immediate, and also I had terrible back pain at one point, about a couple of months after he died. So yeah, the correlation was very clear in my case.
What are some things like because we're now a year and a half removed from you completely recovering over this. And I will say that, like, I've had one person on the show with an ankylosing spondylitis diagnosis. And he's doing coaching now, and he's living a great life on the East Coast of the United States. And, he was a great guest. And, but autoimmune issues are something that is unfortunately common. And a lot of what, like, Nicole Sachs talks about is, kind of whatever, and actually Sarno talked a lot about too, is like whatever is in vogue, whatever sort of popular, like, for instance, ulcers in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
and that was something a lot of people got. And people don't necessarily get them now, not at the frequency that they used to. And everybody also just knows that, like, it's a correlation to stress, and that's just the way that it is.
Yeah, that's out the bag.
What are some ways that you think that you live your life differently now than you did if you and I were sitting down at a bar or a pub in the UK's case 5 years ago? What's different? How do you go about your daily life different?
Oh, there's much less fear. I mean, that's the main difference. I now recognize fear as just a distraction from the unconscious, which is a major difference for me. That's another great thing about Sarno. He basically just gives you permission to not be afraid.
Yep.
By saying it, fear is a distraction from unconscious emotions, just like pain and other symptoms. That's a big difference. I just don't worry about things as much. And that would be the main difference.
If you don't,
interesting about ankylosing spondylitis.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason why autoimmune diseases, it's not clear what exactly I have. That's an enigma. But I had a client who had confirmed ankylosing spondylitis for 20 years. So he had scans showing cartilage degeneration. He had high inflammation on blood tests. He definitely had AS. And after 4 consultations with me, he's got no symptoms.
That's amazing.
So I think that's very significant, for anyone who's listening who's got an autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
Something to think about. And it, yeah, he's gone public with his success story. It's on the TMS wiki, and tomorrow we're going to do a TMS roundtable. Me and Ozzy, the guy who had AS, and we're going to talk about it. So I think that's important, really, because there aren't that many autoimmune success stories. In my book, I tried to find as many as I could, and there are a few of people who heal autoimmune disease with a mind-body approach. Rebecca's in there as well. Rebecca generously agreed to contribute to the book.
That's awesome.
And she's got a terrific story. It's great. I mean, it's worth the price of the book, which is like 99 cents for that alone. Really, it's absolutely terrific.
That's awesome.
Her primary diagnosis was chronic fatigue, but she also got diagnosed with Hashimoto's. So yeah, I think that's an important point to make. People have healed autoimmune disease. It can be done, but it's because you get all this from mainstream medicine that it's incurable. It makes it harder to believe that it can be done. And that was a bit of a sticking point for me. And I kind of swapped my diagnosis and self-diagnosed myself with AS, and I self-diagnosed myself with TMS after reading Sano and just decided, well, it's TMS.
Yeah.
That made it a lot easier psychologically.
That's awesome. Talk about this book that you wrote. Like I mentioned, it's called The Mind Solution. I see it here on Amazon. It's got a couple of reviews and they're glowing. Tell us about that, you know, how, because the process, I've had multiple people on the show that have talked about doing a book, but just the undertaking of it is crazy. And so talk a little bit about that.
Well, I don't really find it that difficult to write books. I mean, I've written and published 7 in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But my problem is promoting them. I mean, I'm kind of writing books faster than I can promote them.
Yeah. Yep.
I've got a logjam. I've got a major logjam piling up back there. I think the journaling helped with that, really, because it enabled me to kind of directly access the unconscious, which is the wellspring of creativity. So that definitely helped with my writing productivity.
Yeah.
And the book itself, yeah, it tells my story. It's got success stories from other people who've healed autoimmune disease. And then it's got a lot of science in the back about autoimmunity and ALS. And probably my main concept here is the idea of the deceiver archetype. So the idea of an archetype is an inner personality that is innate, that kind of everyone's born with. And there's basically two voices in every mind that is the way I see it, the deceiver and the enlightener. And the deceiver distracts via pain, symptoms, fear, desire even, from the unconscious and the spirit in the unconscious. And the enlightener reveals truths that dispel the pain and, you know, shatter the illusion. And the key for me really was to tune out of the deceiver, almost as if it was a radio frequency, and tune into the enlightener. And the more you listen, the louder the enlightener's voice gets. And I think that's kind of a simple way of looking at the psyche that can be helpful.
I mean, it sounds kind of like the devil and the angel on the shoulders,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I use that metaphor in the book. Yeah, it's very simple, but you know, it worked for me. Also found it helpful.
What, and of course, like part of this, we want to promote the book, and I'll link to it in the show notes so you can check that out. But kind of give us a quick synopsis. I mean, how do you, you know, turn the volume down on the deceiver and turn it up on the enlightener? Like, what are a couple of things that you would, you know, you have an elevator ride with somebody that's 3 minutes, although that's a long elevator, but somebody with a ride with somebody that's just a couple of minutes. How do you turn one down and turn one up?
Well, you basically just recognize any fear or desire or pain or symptom as just a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that you are trying to be distracted from something in the unconscious, for many people, is enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the Sano approach. And the other thing is to actually go into the unconscious itself through journaling or therapy, if you like, which then really defeats the purpose of the distraction strategy. And at that point, the deceiver kind of changes tack or just gives up because you're not buying it. So yeah, those would be the main things.
That was going to be my next question, is why do you think, you know, some people succumb more to the deceiver, or rather for people on this podcast, maybe a simpler question is people that read Sarno's books. Cause like you bought in, like there was something about it that really spoke to you. And I was the same way, really bought in, but there are lots of people that read it and say, this doesn't apply to me. Or they've been trying to, like, there's a guy in one of the Facebook groups that I man, or the Facebook group that I manage that, I mean, I've seen him posting frantic messages for 5 years and nothing seems to be getting better. And he's usually asking to talk to, you know, some kind of a practitioner or something that has, there's just a lot of doubt there. What do you think that is with people, and why do you think some people accept it the way that you did? And I know you still had a year and a half recovery, which is a long time, but then other people tend to also just get it and internalize it and it works for them.
Yeah, I mean, most of Sarno's patients didn't even need journaling or psychotherapy. They heal by believing the knowledge he gave them, ignoring pain and resuming normal activities. The knowledge it could be done by believing it can be done just became a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yep.
You know, and that's why the books heal. You know, he's just saying you don't have to do anything, but believe the words he's giving you. So that was great for them. For the people who get stuck, in my case, I would attribute it to the divine bargain I did, you know, the deal I did with Christ, really. I think both gave me Sarno's book itself and the faith to, you know, get through symptom imperative and not be distracted. And the other thing is I'm a nonconformist. And I do think the root of all repression, and it is repression, I think, that stops people from accepting this stuff. The root of all repression is the fear of being disliked or the desire to be liked, which, you know, leads to repression of everything socially undesirable, especially anger, which then causes psychosomatic illness. So conformity is pretty dangerous. And I, you know, I was always a nonconformist. So I think that helped me in that regard.
So I want to make sure I get that quote right, because I wrote it down. The root of repression is the fear of not being liked. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's a snappy way of putting it. Yeah.
I keep writing down a lot of these nuggets because you've got a lot of wisdom built up in that brain of yours. I can hear it with some of the things that you're. And as a matter of fact, I can't remember if I said this already, but the name of this episode is going to be "Permission to Not Be Afraid."
Because
you talked about that earlier. This has been a lot of fun. It's really great getting to know you and some of your story going back. Is there anything else that that we haven't covered that you think would be worthy of covering that I haven't asked about?
Just a simple observation. I mean, belief is the common denominator in all healing. So whatever method people use to heal, whether it's diets or medication, surgery, meditation, journaling, psychotherapy, they use belief because they believe in whatever method they're using.
Mm-hmm.
So belief really is the common denominator across all different methods.
Yep.
Which tells you how important it is.
Yep.
Yep. That's really, that's the main point.
Do you have a website or anything or not at the moment?
RobertEnter.com. If you type that into a search engine, it should come up.
Say it one more time. Sorry, I cut out there.
Yeah, RobertEnter.com. If you type that into a search engine, it should just come up.
I see it.
And you can book a consultation and do some. We can do some mind body coaching if you like.
Perfect.
And all my books are on there as well. So if you want to reach me, that's a good place to start.
Awesome. Cool. Well, hey, Robert, thanks for being here. I will link the I'll link the website and the book in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. Let's keep in touch.
Yeah, we'll do.
Cool. Okay. All right. Thanks, Robert. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Bye.